Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi there, and welcome again to the Explaining History podcast. And today I want to talk a little bit about the relationship that the Caudillo, General Francisco Franco, had with the rest of the world after the end of the Second World War. Now, my good friends at IB Taurus have sent me a copy of Franco, Anatomy of a Dictator by Enrique Moradillos, and I think, with any luck, we'll be able to squeeze a copy out of them as a giveaway. By way of credentials, Paul Preston, who I've talked about before, who wrote The Spanish Holocaust, cites Professor Moradillos as one of the most distinguished historians of 20th century Spain. For a concise and lucid account of Franco, the man and his dictatorship, it'd be difficult to improve on his balanced and learned account. So I've talked a lot about the Spanish Civil War itself and the fall of the Spanish Republic, but less is known about what happened after the Second World War. Obviously, Franco flirted with the idea of an alliance with Hitler and toyed with the possibility of becoming involved in the war, but ultimately his demands from Hitler were so enormous for a relatively little amount of exposure and risk that Hitler chose to support the territorial claims of Vichy France and Fascist Italy over Franco, and as a result Franco decided it was best not to get involved. The fact remains, though, that Franco was the most successful fascist leader of his generation in Europe, and the most successful totalitarian leader, outliving Stalin even, and surviving until the 1970s. And this is something that really gets kind of overlooked in the kind of the broader narrative of European history in the 20th century, that there is this brief period from in the 1920s and 30s, ending in 1945, when fascism ruled supreme or threatens to overturn liberal democracy. And the conventional story that we all embrace is order is restored and the kind of balance is rectified, and the good will out. But in the case of Spain, that doesn't happen. Fascism persists in quite a virulent form for a considerable period of time. And the questions as far as democratic life in Spain goes are multiple. Germany managed to rid itself of Nazism in eastern Germany and in the west due to military occupation, and not just defeat but the annihilation of the regime. the re-emergent democracy in Spain from the 70s onwards still has many kind of ghosts from the past and many hidden aspects of fascism that continue to linger on. One only needs to recently have looked at the battering that Catalan protesters received to notice that there is a strong nationalist authoritarianism still at play in the Iberian Peninsula. Franco had committed forces to Hitler's invasion of the Soviet Union, and he had sent his Blue Division to fight in Operation Barbarossa. But he attempted to present to Britain and the USA himself as a neutral force. He said essentially there are two wars, one an anti-communist crusade and the other the war that you're fighting with Nazi Germany I don't have to be concerned with, and I'm certainly not going to attack you. The Western Allies had significant reservations about this, as this put an immense strain on their already fractious relationship with Stalin, and it presented Stalin with suspicions that the West were once again planning to abandon the Soviet Union to its fate. The Francoists suggested that the struggle against the Bolsheviks was something quite distinct from wars between civilized nations. And the letter that the Caudillo received on the 12th of December 1941 from the secretary of the presidency, Admiral Carrera Blanco, who was a great enthusiast for this dual war theory, said, "The Anglo-Saxon Soviet front is really a front of Jewish power, where the whole complex of democracies, Freemasonry, liberalism, plutocracy and communism, raise their flags. The Axis is fighting today against everything that is fundamentally anti-Spain." When America entered the war after Pearl Harbor, along with fascist defeats in North Africa and the slowing down of the offensive in Russia, Franco began to start to see the writing on the wall for the Axis powers, and began to see that there wasn't much of a future allied to Hitler. He saw as well that if there was going to be a successful war, it was one that was going to be very long, and the position of Spain in that war would become more and more vulnerable. The Americans were a large presence in the Atlantic, they were a presence in North Africa, and they would eventually become a presence in France. And the British would be a presence in Suez, tying down German troops in North Africa and keeping them away from the real objective, which was, of course, the Russian front. On the 12th of February 1942, Antonio Salazar, the dictator of Portugal, and Franco met in Seville. They discussed with one another the shape of the war emerging around Spain and Portugal, and decided to form a treaty between one another to safeguard both their countries. They referred to it laughingly as the peace and inviolability of the peninsula, while there was little that until 1939 had been peaceful or inviolable about Spain at all. The Iberian bloc was the alliance that was conceived of, and it was a sop to the Allies as well, as it offered neutrality in Spain and Portugal, and it guaranteed, hopefully, in Franco's eyes, that Spain and Portugal would be considered to be an irrelevance as far as war aims went, and there would be little interest by the Anglo-American Allies in invading Spain. On the 8th of November 1942, Franco saw Allied troops land in Morocco and Algeria, starting a second front against the Axis in the Mediterranean. Allied troops on the other sides of the Straits of Gibraltar and along the Spanish-Moroccan border put an end to any dreams that Franco had of intervening in the war. He realised that his territory was under considerable threat. The fact that Spain couldn't react militarily meant that Roosevelt was able to send a letter directly to Franco saying that these moves are in no shape, manner or form directed against the government or people of Spain. Spain has nothing to fear from the United Nations. And the rapid successes of the Allies in North Africa pushed Spain furthermore towards a neutral stance, and any sympathies within Franco's regime for becoming involved in the war are quickly purged. In November 1942, General Gomez Jordana, the foreign minister for the Francoist regime, said, "It's not exactly that we're in favour of the Axis, but rather we're against communism." The following April in 1943, the Caudillo reiterated to the ambassador of Italy the reasons why Spain would not return the favour that Mussolini had done for Franco and return the military support. He said, "My heart is with you and I want an Axis victory. It is in my interest and in that of my country, but you cannot forget the difficulties that I have to face both internationally and in domestic politics." As the war turned furthermore in the Allies' favour, America was able to put more pressure on Spain to prevent any kind of covert aid to Germany. In September 1943, Franco said that the Blue Division that had been fighting in Russia would be disbanded, and on October the 1st, he said, he reiterated the fact that Spain was strictly neutral in the war. 7 days after that, he had to accept, without any hint of protest, Portugal's decision to allow the Americans and the British use of military bases in the Azores in order to protect Atlantic convoys. And the pressure from Britain and America grew in 1944. On the 20th of January that year, America imposed an embargo on fuel until Franco's regime met with Allied demands. It was one of the great lifelines that the Texaco Oil Company threw to Franco during the Civil War was an almost unlimited flow of fuel. And so putting pressure on this was an immensely strategically important thing for America to do, control the flow of fuel, and you control the regime itself. After this, the other commodities that were imported in large quantities into Spain were also embargoed. Wool meant that there was a crisis in Spain, the Spanish textile industry, and the possibility of total economic collapse loomed. Franco was aware of the impact of American embargoes on Japan before the start of the Second World War. Franco said at this point, "Spain is in no condition to be intransigent." And an agreement was signed on the 2nd of May 1944, in which the Spanish government gave a pledge to throw all German agents out of its territory who had been accused of espionage or sabotage. And this was a significant intelligence blow to the Axis forces.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Spain had been an exceptional environment for intelligence gathering for a considerable period of time. It meant all logistic support to Germany ended. Germany was no longer allowed to use any ports or airfields in Spain, and exports of tungsten, which was important in the process of creating steel, was also banned from Spain to Germany. So you imagine Hitler probably got the message the relationship had cooled to such an extent that Franco was no longer willing to risk it. At the end of the war, Franco had almost completely bent over to Anglo-American demands, and he had an eye on the future. He knew that the Axis was not salvageable, and he knew also that he could be salvageable, and Francoist Spain could survive. And he knew that he would be in a world which would be particularly hostile to fascist military strongmen. And he used the appeals of anti-communism and Catholicism as his basis for the future. These were going to be his ideological platform into the late 1940s, early 1950s, that would help him appeal to the rest of Europe and America. He presented himself as one of the kind of the gatekeepers of Europe, one of the sentries of the West, and a figure who had, in this kind of reversal of history in Franco's mind, stood up to Hitler and not allowed Spain to be dragged into a ruinous war. He tried to present himself within Spain as being this figure who had been able to steer the most pragmatic path through a half a decade of conflict. And the other ministers from the Francoist era who had been enthusiastic about joining with the Axis, the Spanish news newspapers began to demonise them as being the sorts of men that, if we'd have allowed them to do it, would have dragged us into this terrible conflict that has destroyed Germany. Western diplomats became aware that Franco's game and his strategy and what he was trying to achieve, and they knew that he was looking for survival at any price. So in mid-December 1944, after an interview with Franco in the El Pardo Palace, to convey Allied disgust at his behaviour and a real disquiet about the possibility of a Francoist future in Spain, the British ambassador in Madrid reported back to the British government the following communique after having met with Franco. He said, "Franco seemed entirely complacent and unruffled. He made no counterattack and showed no resentment at my criticism. He showed no signs of being worried about the future of Spain and had evidently convinced himself that the present regime is in the forefront of human progress and the best that Spain has ever possessed. Whether this appearance of complete complacency is a pose or not is impossible to say. My own view is that he is genuinely convinced that he is the chosen instrument of heaven to save Spain, and any suggestions to the contrary he regards as either ignorant or blasphemous. It was only when I was leaving that I noticed a sign that the wind had begun to blow in this unventilated shrine of self-complacency. Photographs of the Pope and President Carmona of Portugal had taken the place of honour previously held on his writing table by Hitler and Mussolini. So, at the end of the Second World War, Franco found himself in a very unfriendly environment. The beginnings of a period of ostracization of the Franco regime commenced, and this showed. This was a period in which Franco was able to show his talents as a politician to survive in this difficult environment. On March 19th, 1945, Don Juan de Bourbon, who had been the heir of Alfonso XIII, the previous king, who had been deposed by the Spanish Republic, published his Manifesto of Lausanne, and this was a document where Franco was requested to retire and a monarchy return in order to reunite the nation. Franco had been, in his eyes, perhaps sort of like a Cromwell figure, the necessary dictator needed to, but one who had been unable to heal the divisions of the nation, and only a kind of a regal monarchy could do that. On the 2nd of August 1945, at the Potsdam Conference, the Potsdam allies issued a statement which vetoed Franco's Spain from the new United Nations, saying that in view of its origins, its nature, its record, and its close association with aggressor states. And perhaps there were some guilty consciences here. Perhaps there were, amongst the Americans and the British particularly, some regret about having allowed the violent Francoist regime to establish itself in Spain. Facing international condemnation and internal pressure to restore the monarchy, Franco struggled to survive, and he used the memories of the Civil War and reignited the belief, the entirely fraudulent belief, that Catholic Spain was under threat by some kind of Freemasonic Bolshevik plot, and that he obviously left the Jews out of the equation, even though Spanish fascism, even though there were almost no Jews in Spain, was still obsessed with Jewish conspiracy theories. But given the discovery of the death camps, it was a bit impolitic, even for someone like Franco, to take anti-Semitic references. Franco was certain that within Europe there would be a new conflict between the Soviet Union and America. And eventually, when this happened, America would turn to Spain for its staunch anti-communist sentiments, and Spain would be a new strategic site of strategic importance, and this would be how Spain would restore its fortunes internationally. But up until this point, Spain really had to kind of keep its head down, and the recommendations of some of Franco's more ardent anti-communist ministers were that Franco should continue to keep up this rhetoric of him being the lone warrior in Europe against communism and the kind of the weakness of liberalism, and he should take advantage of opportunities to convince England and America that Franco should join the struggle against Russian imperialism, and that the Catholicism anti-communism and the access to the Atlantic would be the three tools that Spain could use. After the Potsdam Conference, Carrero Blanco set out how he saw Franco's views on the future, in which he said, "In short, with the last shot in the Pacific, the diplomatic war between the Anglo-Saxon powers and Russia has begun. England and the United States are united against Russian imperialism. In this obvious case of cold self-interest, the Anglo-Saxons, despite what they say on the radio, in the media, and even the politicians, great and small, not only do not support it, but oppose everything that could create a situation of Soviet hegemony in the Iberian Peninsula. They are interested in order and in anti-communism, but would prefer to achieve this with a different regime to the current one. The pressures of Anglo-Saxons for a change in Spanish politics that breaks the normal development of the current regime will be much lower and more palpable is our order, our unity, and our impassivity to threats and impertinences. There can be no formula for us other than order, unity, and endurance." So he believed, with some degree of accuracy, it turns out, that the anti-communist struggle of the British and the Americans would overcome, really, their antipathy towards fascism and their distaste for it. And it was possible, Franco later thought, that the fascist aspects of the regime could be downplayed, and instead a more naturalist sense of kind of Catholicism and a kind of a democracy, which wouldn't be a democracy at all in any conceivable way, but a managed democracy based around Catholic values would be the way in, would be the external face of Spain to the world. He referred it to it would be more perfect than the formal and garrulous democracy that exploits people. And the term that was also used to describe all this was constitutional cosmetics and the apparent change of facade, which would be nothing more than a public relations exercise in order to integrate an authoritarian militarist Spain into a post-fascist world. Okay, well, I'm going to finish there. I hope you found that useful and interesting. Remember to check out and join the Explaining History Facebook group. We've got some great interest. People are signing up and taking part in the big discussions about modern history there. Come along. It'll be fun. And follow the link under this podcast. All the best. Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.